This is April 1st. It's the first session of this spring period. We are here already able to sit mindfully, breath by breath. We can take this breath. How are you doing this one breath? How is your practice of this one breath? There are over 50 of you here, and your breathing, your tante, each one of you, is your own. The fact of your one doing is different from everybody else's. This one doing, this one breath that you take, reveals you. All of you, you're all. There's no making it like somebody else or like everyone else. It's your own world. And this breath is the true you, your genuine life. You're here to see into this truth, to know yourself. Of course, that knowing doesn't mean just some artificial notion of who you are, something superficial that you can learn about this 160 or 70 or 80 centimeters of flesh and bones. This person that you usually think is me has a certain amount of knowledge and a certain amount of power to get things done, and of course, this person is trying to make things better for themselves, more enjoyable. You do have a notion of I. I must be this or it must be that, you think. But in regarding this paltry thing, this paltry image that you have, in regarding this as your true self, as all there is, aren't you locking yourself in a box, wrapping yourself up in a bag, closing yourself in? Aren't you limiting yourself? I hope that you can answer, no, I won't be satisfied with that. I must know for myself that which is beyond limits, that's what I'm aiming for. And however I can do it, I'm going to stick with it until I know the self beyond limits. There are those of you who have already nobly made this your aim. A person is born. Then what? Then the haggling begins. This or that. I want this. I don't need that. This and that, happiness and sadness and anger and hatred and envy and doubt, frustration, dissatisfaction, complaints, of course also joy and happiness, up and down. How is it with you? How is it? This human life, what does it all amount to? Here on the first day of Sesshin, it wasn't the best time, but one member of a temple family who had been hospitalized, thinking that he would return home soon, suddenly died last night. All the family was praying for his quick return home, and it looked like he was improving and that he would be coming home soon. And then last night, suddenly, he left this world for another world, as we say it. Probably up until now, he had only seen death as somebody else's problem. Up until now, there's a saying that goes something like, up until now, death was always somebody else's thing. But now that it's my problem, that's something else altogether. So if one still has the leeway to talk about it in this way, then there's still some hope. But when you face your own death, are you going to face it with the feeling of not being able to stand the thought of it, to bear it? Are you satisfied to live like this? Wife, children, great treasure, the position, the right and privileges of a king. All is lost when the eyes fail to see and the breath stops. All the rights and privileges you thought were yours are lost, and nobody can come along with you. And here, all this lifetime you've been operating under the illusion that it's all yours. When you die, where are all the rights and privileges? You can't take it with you, nothing follow. And you don't know what's ahead. You go into blindness. It doesn't feel good, darkness. It's only anxiety producing. Nobody finds it happy or fun. As long as you regard death as far off, as somebody else's reality, and then you're not realizing it as your own reality. And yet, it is the reality right at your feet. It will happen to you. You will not escape death. Well, I hear you, and I guess that none of this can be helped. It's just the way it is. That attitude, which a lot of people have, is one of misguided resignation. Are you really willing to spinelessly wander in delusion? Transmigration through the six realms. Transmigrating through the six realms, complaints without end, over and over the same thing. Someday you have to break the cycle to escape life and death. As long as there is attachment, there's no end to it. We're just singing about death here. Death is when you have to let go of any and everything that has meant anything at all to you, that's caused you happiness, that you've relied on. It's painful. It's painful when you have to give it up, and it's painful right now as you live and breathe. Everybody tries to live a long life, and suppose that those who want to live a long life try to do certain things like eat in moderation and try not to let their emotions get in control of them and try not to give in to greed. Those who live in accord with truth naturally live a long life, I think we can say. They naturally treat life with care. Everyone dies. So it's not just a question of living this life smoothly. The road ahead is dark and full of anxiety. It's a pity. It's painful. That's why it was said this way. A person is born, suffers, and dies. That was the conclusion of a king of ancient Persia who assembled all the greatest minds of his time to investigate the meaning of it all, the meaning of humanity. The king was impatient for the answer, but these investigations take time, he's told. It takes his lifetime, and it's about time for him to die, so he demands to hear the answer in a nutshell. What is it to be human? So he's given it in a nutshell. Person is born, suffers, and dies, and there's no knowing what comes after that. Do you intend to continue in this repetition of delusion? If not, what is it that you should be seeking? It's necessary for you to coolly resolve, to determine, to focus on the heart, to be one with your own true life. If we spend this lifetime seeking pleasure, singing and dancing and drinking and making merry, the end can come at any time. That's a fact. So first off, we get started on this that we've got to do. Where do we start? Right here, right now. But it can't be a false start. I mean, you can't start out on the wrong foot. So how do we start out? What's the aim? The aim is to come to know yourself, to see what life is really about. We start out with this as our aim, and then we stick with it bravely, with energy. What's ahead? There's a koan that goes like this. You pull out the weeds and study the profound mystery only in order to see into your original nature. Where is your original nature at this moment? Who are you, really? What's your true life? Have you seen into your self-nature? Do you understand? Do you understand so that it's not possible to falter? One who has realized their own true nature escapes from birth and death. When the light of your eyes falls to the ground, how will you escape? One who has realized their own original nature escapes from birth and death. Birth and death, this is your own life. So you resolve to, I will not vacillate, I won't hesitate or waver, and I won't back off. When the light of your eyes falls to the ground, how will you escape? When it's your turn to die, how do you face it? Are you going to break through, work through this painful, this bitter reality? If you do realize your own true nature, you can escape from birth and death. This is quite an examination for you. One who has escaped from birth and death knows where they go. When the four great elements that compose your body separate, where will you go? The four great elements, earth, fire, water, wind. That solid stuff is the four elements. That which flows is great water. That which is warm, great fire. In and out, breath by breath. The wind is the breath, great wind. Why great? Why do we use this word great for the elements? This solidity, the skeleton, flesh, skin, it's granted to us by the universe. This is the fruit of the universe. It's just one form which has arisen. It's really all of heaven and earth. Therefore we say great. Great water flowing, flowing, according to karmic conditions and circumstances, flowing always now, here. Like water, we often say, it's the flow of life. Are you going against the flow of life? Great water, you are life flowing, all of heaven and earth. Great water, great fire, life warmth. When you're sick, you take your temperature. If it's a little high, you say, well, that's not the disharmony of the whole. One place, some place must be frustrated or dissatisfied in the squirming. It's not the disharmony of the whole, so you rest a bit and settle down and all will be well. You check your condition by your body temperature. The cool wind blows, brrr, it's cold. The temperature goes down. The sun comes out, it's warm, isn't it? It's so warm today. That's nothing special. The sun is in your belly. Great fire. Earth, water, wind, fire. Isn't the wind of life blowing, forever and always blowing? The wind, life blowing. The heart of life, this wind of life is blowing with all good grace, my life. When I feel the wind upon me, I become so energetic. Even in a light breeze, it always gives me energy. I was riding a bicycle to town one day, and suddenly I felt the wind blowing strongly into me. When you ride a bicycle, the wind naturally blows against you. I had always felt the wind. The wind had always blown against me. But as long as we aren't aware, as long as we aren't realizing it, we just don't realize it. One day, suddenly, phew, the wind is life. I came alive. I could see into great wind, and I was so happy, involuntarily happy with absolute limitless life. I guess I forgot my errand and I rushed back to my teacher to announce that I felt the wind. The wind is blowing. When the four great elements that compose your body separate, where will you go? Where will you go? As always, you harmonize. You do what's to be done. When the morning bell is rung, you rise. When it's time for zazen, you sit. At exercise time, you exercise to keep the body flexible. All the four great elements operate in harmony, active, lively. Great activity. Great liveliness. Well, how is it? If the basis of life, if life becomes clear to you, this koan and its questions won't throw you for a loop. But if you're still not clear with life, don't gaze about, don't get distracted, just sit. Sit, sit. It's life, sitting. come close, intimate with your genuine life. We're all strapped in here by the fact that that which is the very closest to us, our own life, is made to be the farthest off. That's what we're all doing. That's how it stands with all of us. That's why Shakyamuni Buddha said, because our minds are upside down through delusive thinking, we fail to perceive this. We're all upside down, inverted. It's strange to walk on your head, isn't it? Yet that's just what you're all doing, walking on your heads. Right? Thinking, this or that, encased in complaints, haggling. Aren't you holding your own small viewpoint most dearly to you? Upside down, delusive thinking. Of course, that describes our state of mind. Today, this is the first day of Sesshin. You've just heard something here about yourself, haven't you? You've heard that the time to die, to let go of it all, is now. What could you hear that could possibly be more encouraging, more urgent, more urging? You've got no time to look off. Somehow, some way, you must know truth. Each of you is here because you've determined to awaken to truth, to come to life. You've resolved to walk this one way, oneness path, in order to repay your gratitude to all beings, to the universe. To return the compassion of the universe, you've determined to walk this path. But that's not nearly enough. You're just starting out with the resolution. If we compare it to mountain climbing, I think we can say you're only a third or so up and still wandering along limply. Settle your resolve, be firmer. I think there'll be some rough places to walk. Keep it up with brave urgency. Please climb. It's the only way. If you are just bumbling and bumping around at the foot of the mountain, well, it's just a shame to be floundering around with such a narrow field of vision. Climb Truth Mountain, one step, one step. Together with all beings, we attain Buddhahood.